Hello, everyone, and welcome to Best Food I've Ever Had. This week, we have a special Valentine's Day edition of the podcast. I have my cousin Natasha talking about the food in France, so I can't wait for you guys to hear all about it. And yeah, let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Best Food I've Ever Had. I'm joined today by my cousin Natasha.
Hi, I am really excited to be doing this with you.
Yay, I'm so excited too. So Natasha is going to be talking about her time in France because she did live there for how long did you live there for?
I want to say almost 2 years, not back to back. I came home for like a Christmas in between, but total about 2 years.
So we're going to start off pretty much by introducing the channel. If you guys have never been here before, we talk about food and we talk about travel and where people have gone and what food they enjoy eating at that location. So France, I really don't know much about France.
You've never been?
I've never been.
Okay.
And really when I think about French food, I think about like maybe crepes. I've had escargot, but that's pretty much the basis of what I know.
Yeah, I think I don't want to say that French food gets a bad rap, but I think people do associate it with things like crepes and escargot and sometimes frog legs, and really people don't eat those things that much. I mean, they do have them, you know, in a lot of places, and they have like little crepe street carts and stuff like that. They have a lot of farmers markets. So if you go to the farmers markets, there'll be somebody who has like a little crepe stand and you can get them there. But mostly people will just make them at home.
Okay.
So it's like everybody knows how to make crepes. It's like a thing. Like you don't not know how to make them.
How did you get to live in France? Or how did you come, have the opportunity to live there?
So I want to say that part of my life is pretty magical. I was obsessed with France and everything French ever since I can remember. And when I went to community college, I decided, hey, maybe I have to take a language course, so I should start learning French. And then I actually just set an intention for myself. I decided that I wanted to go and it was going to be a goal. And I set a date, like the same day that you, like the same way that you would set a date for your wedding. And I didn't know how it was going to happen. I just believed that it would happen. And my dad knew someone who had a friend that lived in France who needed help taking care of her children, because she's a single mom and she lives in what they call a castle, a chateau. It's like an 18th century gigantic home. Okay. And she runs it as a bed and breakfast. So I got in contact with her and she was like, yeah, I need help with my kids. You want to come? I can't pay you, but you can live in my house and I'll give you some pocket money. And I was like, okay, sure.
Oh my gosh. That's insane. Like listening to how that happened, does it make you go like, oh my gosh, that actually happened?
Yes, it really was like a dream. And I loved every minute being there. And I mean, I did work. I worked hard. I was taking care of those kids all the time, and I couldn't leave very often because she needed help with, you know, everything in the house, and she had guests who came over from all different parts of Europe. It was pretty cool. It was a really cool experience.
Oh my gosh. So going into, I guess, living there, you said that you weren't able to leave that often. I wanted to talk a little bit about how home-cooked meals versus going out and eating. How is that different in France? Or what type of dishes are different in that sense?
So for one, I think that people cook at home way more. I think it's a special treat to go out to eat somewhere. I don't know in Paris, because I didn't live there. I'm imagining people eat out more there, but in other parts of France, you can't get a meal after lunch. Like, they close down the restaurants around 2, and then you can't get food anywhere until like 5 p.m. So people don't have access to food outside of the home as much as we do here. So therefore, meals are kind of a sacred thing, and there's a lot of social gatherings that happen around food, and a lot more people know how to cook, and they cook really good stuff.
Okay, so let's go into kind of, I don't want to say your top 3 things in France that you ate.
Oh my gosh, it's so hard, honestly. I want to say they eat a lot of salads with their meals. I learned how to make really good salads and love vegetables more after I lived there. But a lot of people will do courses. Like, that happens often. You'll sit down for a meal and there'll be like maybe a salad entree or a soup or some kind of appetizer, like maybe a little bit of a pate with some crackers or pickles if you're at somebody's house. And then they'll do the meal. And then after that, sometimes people eat the salad at the end of the meal, depending what part of France you're in. And then they'll have a cheese course.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And sometimes they'll eat yogurt at that time too. Or sometimes people will eat the salad with the cheese. And then they sometimes have dessert. And then after that, maybe some coffee. So there's a lot of food going on.
Is that where like the term like charcuterie is, right?
Yeah. So charcuterie is, yeah, I think like ham and sausages and cheese, those kinds of things.
But that's more, so you're saying that's more incorporated into like the whole courses instead of it being just like an appetizer.
Yeah. So I think it would be part of the course. So one thing I noticed is that, you know, French people aren't going to gorge themselves on the appetizer because they're really hungry, because they know that there's all of these other parts of the meal that are coming their way. So they'll tend to just eat a little bit of everything and save room.
So going into top 3 best foods that you ate while you were there.
Okay, so I can remember distinctly, I went to this, it was like a community party. It was some kind of celebration in some garage looking thing. And where I lived was in the countryside. So, you know, it wasn't anything fancy, but somebody made bœuf bourguignon. It's just like a beef stew. It usually has carrots and potatoes and it's made with red wine.
Okay, yes.
That's kind of like the base for it. I'd never tried it before. It's very simple and beautiful all at the same time. And it was just amazing. I was like, what is this? I've never had this before. I didn't know that this is what cooking with wine tasted like. It was pretty amazing.
Because they use wine in a lot of their dishes, right?
Yeah, they really do, actually. Not everything, but in a lot of things. And they drink a lot of wine with their food, too.
Like every meal?
Yeah, like every meal. Well, I actually never bought a bottle of wine, but wine is surprisingly cheap. And a lot of people make their own wine, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, in the region that I was in, it's one of the biggest wine producing regions. So that was very common to see people who had their own label wine.
And I always kind of wondered, like grocery stores in France, is it more like farmers markets or is there actually like grocery stores there?
Yeah, there is grocery stores. But the area where I was living in order to get to the grocery store, it was like a 30-minute drive. So I guess it would be equivalent to like when you plan a trip to Costco, I guess. Okay. It's like a big deal and you're buying specific things and you're buying a lot of it and you're not going to go back probably until next month. At least that was my experience. Because it was really like very, very country where I lived. Like I could see what things were in season. I would be like, oh, the corn is growing now. It's June or May or whatever. It'll be ready in July. That kind of stuff. It was like real farmland. But it's very common that there's like a little bakery and you go and you buy your bread there. And there's a little, you know, boutique where you go and buy, you know, your eggs and things. Where I lived, they had chickens, so they didn't go to buy eggs because the chickens would just lay eggs and we would just go get them every morning,
pick them from there.
Yeah.
I remember my sister, and actually you mentioned that I should have my sister on as well,
yeah,
so that she can talk about her experience because she was more in the city.
Yeah, and I really think that her experience would be completely different, because it is the city is completely different than the country.
Yeah, and she told me that, I guess where she was living, there was a lot of like farmers markets, and she would go buy like whole chickens there, and they would still have like the feathers.
Yeah. I mean, at the farmers market, you could either get dead whole chickens or live whole chickens, depending, you know, what you're needing. And I specifically remember one day when I went with the lady that I used to live with, Valerie. We went to a farmer's market and she bought a bunch of ducks and a bunch of chickens, and they were little, you know, little ducklings and little chicks. And I watched them grow up and I was like, oh my gosh, they're so cute. And she was like, yes. And in 6 months, we'll be eating them with French fries, you know?
Oh my God. I mean, it's very different than how we see it here, because everything here in the U.S. is packaged and you never see a face and you never see exactly what it's going to look like until like you're eating it and it doesn't even look like an animal, right?
Yeah.
But I find it very, I guess, fresh to be able to just see your animal and be like, okay, yeah, that's my animal. You know exactly what's going in your body. There's not going to be any, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's how you really know, like, am I committed to being a carnivore, or am I really thinking about being a vegetarian? If you see your animal, you meet them, you hang out with them, and then you're like, I'm going to eat you later. Like, for me, I'm like, I must really be a carnivore, because yeah. I did eat that duck and it was delicious and I don't feel bad about it at all.
So I guess talking about some of the things that we have here in the U.S. that we, you know, we talked a little bit about crepes, French fries. I don't know. Are they big over there?
Yeah. I mean, they call them frites. So they don't call them French fries there. And a funny story about that is when I was there in 2004, which is about the time that Bush had just gotten elected. I don't know, Angie, I think you were still a little duckling yourself. So I don't know if you remember.
I was a junior in high school, just so you know.
And I don't remember what it was that Bush did. I think he took our country to war, and I think France was really against it, and got upset. So Americans were like, we're boycotting French fries. We're calling them freedom fries now. And it was like a whole thing.
I do remember that. Oh my gosh.
But from what I know, fries actually originate in Belgium. That's okay. What I learned. I could be wrong, but that's what I remember. But they do have a lot of dishes. Like, they'll just have like steak and fries, or, oh, I'm just remembering one of the most delicious things that I remember eating, which is very typical of a region in English known as Brittany, which is on the coast of France. They eat a lot of, it's called moules frites, which is basically mussels You know what mussels are?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Those little, like, they look like clams, like black clams,
mm-hmm.
with fries. And then they make the mussels in some kind of, like, white wine sauce or tomato sauce, depending. And then they throw the fries in there, and the fries soak in the sauce. And you eat the mussels with the fries soaked in the sauce. Oh, my goodness. I can't even tell you just how delicious that is. It's amazing. Oh my
God. It sounds really good.
Yeah.
Because I would think that the fries soak up all the, like, juice.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah, it's pretty heavenly. And you would never think to eat mussels with fries, but it really goes great together.
Oh, okay. How about, like, macarons? Macarons? I don't know how to say it.
Oh, okay. So it is, it's a macaron.
Okay.
So it's not macaroon, and I don't know why, but I do get annoyed when I'm like, when people are like, I'm going to eat the macaroon. I'm like, people, macaroon is the coconut. It's like made with coconut and egg whites. It's those like hairy looking cookies. And macaron is, well, it's made with almond flour, confectioner sugar, and egg whites. And then whatever filling you're thinking of.
Can I just
tell me.
That was one of your trivia questions.
Did I get it right?
Yes.
I win.
I'm like, what are three ingredients known to be in macarons?
How many points did I get?
It's 1 point per question.
Okay.
But really, there's no points. It's just true.
But that's one of the things that has also been singed in my memory. So I actually didn't go into the bakeries a lot because I was really worried that I would only eat sugar and I would be unhealthy. So I was like, I can never go into a bakery. And I may have told you this before, but it's one of the things that I deeply, deeply regret is not having eaten more cakes and cookies while I was there. I think about it all the time.
I mean, you'll go back someday.
Yeah, I'll go
back. And you'll be able to try everything.
Yeah, exactly. I hope so. That's my dream. That's my dream.
Just visualize it, just like you did amazingly, like back then.
You're right. I have to tap into those skills again.
Mm-hmm.
But I lived with another family the second year that I was there, and they had a big party, somebody's birthday, and she bought a macaron tower because this is like a thing. It looks so beautiful with all of the colorful macaron, and it's a decorative piece, and then you eat from it too. And she bought them from this bakery. It's called La Durée, which is a very famous bakery, and I think they have one in New York too.
Okay.
And they're famous for their macaron. And they know how to do presentation. They put everything in like these beautiful little containers that are like this light mint green color. And it looks like something that you bought at a palace. It's amazing. And I tried my first macaron cookie from there. And I was like, oh my God. What just happened in my mouth? Like, I don't even know what's happening right now. And it was the most delicious thing.
Does tasting them here versus there, is there a difference?
Yeah, it does. So I think it does depend. There's where I'm living right now, in the San Francisco Bay Area, there's a lot of great bakeries that really know how to mimic the French pastry style, and they do really good macaron, but some people make them too big and they put maybe like a lot of buttercream in them. So it's like too much, right? I feel personally like they have to be a specific size in order for you to really appreciate the texture and the flavors and everything coming all together. I feel like they should be a little bit smaller, on the smaller size instead of bigger. And I also prefer the ones that have like a gel filling instead of a cream filling.
Okay.
But a lot of people don't, for some reason, don't do the gel filling around here. I guess maybe just because people like cream better. I'm not sure why that is.
I don't even know what the difference is. I think I've only had them like once or twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I need to like explore and have more of it.
Well, when you come visit me, I'll find some place where they have a really good macaron and, you know, I'll hook you up.
Okay. And I should probably mention, not my last podcast, but I think two podcasts ago, I spoke about Hawaii and I mentioned you a few times.
Oh my gosh. So yeah.
The same Natasha.
That's me.
Yes. And we're actually on a Skype call right now because she's, again, in the Bay Area and I'm here in you know, the IE. But this is cool. Like, yeah, maybe the next time we can talk about, you know, new food that you found in San Francisco or the area.
Yeah.
Do you find, like, any other differences other than the, like, pastries and desserts that are different? Or have you found any good American French food?
I've only been to one French restaurant, and I think it was before I went to France, so I don't remember it, and I can't really compare. I just remember that the lady was very specific that if I was going to order a souffle for dessert, I had to let her know 20 minutes ahead of time. And so I thought it would be really funny if she gave us the check and I told her, oh, you know, I changed my mind. Can I have a souffle? And I swear that she looked like she wanted to throw the plate at me. I had to tell her, I'm just kidding, really quickly.
Oh my gosh. Like,
go ahead.
Because we went to, it was like a pastry place here for one of our meetings for used media.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the little pastry place that we went to?
Oh, yeah. I think it's called Paris Bakery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Paris Pastries. And something Paris similar pastry. Happened there to where she was waiting almost like an hour for her food.
And oh, then me.
Yeah. And then you went up there and they're like, oh, we're almost, I guess, I don't know if they had just started on it. It was something like that to where it was like, oh my gosh, they like totally forgot about your food.
I think they did. And I was like, can I just get my money back? And they're like, no, it's almost done. And then 15 minutes later, I was like, oh yeah, that was almost done. Thanks. But you know, I think there's a lot of restaurants around here that maybe have like, I want to say it's like maybe like a French fusion. Like they have some American items, but then they have some French type things. And it's pretty tasty, but I can't think of anywhere specific right now.
I don't know any places around here, to be honest, or like French cuisine, because I know there was that pastry place, but I've never been to an actual like French restaurant, and it scares me a little bit because I don't really know what they offer.
I honestly think that if you wanted to eat real French food, you can just try to cook it at home.
Okay.
And it would come out probably even better than the restaurant, because like I said before, most French people know how to cook, and they do it often, and they cook for their friends and family, and they get together and have dinners at each other's houses more than they go out to dinner. So I think, you know, French recipes are made to everybody. It's accessible to everyone. I think
maybe that's why there's so many great like French chefs out there, because they just have been cooking their entire life.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, one of the things that I learned how to make while I was there, it's like this really delicious meal, but it's super simple. It's just like potatoes and onions. And then you have to get the special cheese that I don't know if they sell it here in the United States, but you just take like the whole round of cheese and you put it on top of the potatoes and you just stick it in the oven. And then the cheese kind of just melts all over the potatoes. And then that's it. And it's like a dish that people eat very often.
Oh, wow. Is it like a brie?
I don't know what kind. It is kind of like a brie, but it has a specific name, and I don't even remember the name of the dish right now. Tartiflette. It's called tartiflette.
Tartiflette. I'll have to try that. That's one of my goals this year. I've been wanting to have like a series where I go to a thrift store and grab like a random recipe book and just select one recipe from that book and then cook it, because I want to just explore different cultures.
I think you should do like a remake of the movie Julia, Julie and Julia, and where she gets like Julia Child's cookbook and she's like trying new recipes all the time and it makes her life more exciting.
But with who? What's the famous Mexican, cook or chef? A famous
Mexican chef. Wow, I'm sure there's many, but I cannot think of one.
Yeah, I can't. I'll have to do some research on that. Yeah.
So you want to do Mexican food, like you want to do all the Mexican cuisine?
Yeah, I want to focus on Mexican cuisine because it's my favorite. And also I have like I feel like I have a deep connection to it because food to me brings a lot of memories. And this is why I like this podcast, because it's about thinking about your trip and bringing back all those memories through food. So did you already talk about your favorite food in France or no?
I just feel like it would be unkind to French cuisine in general, just to say that I had a favorite, because there was really so many. I just liked everything. I don't think that there was anything that I didn't like. I even did try the escargot and I was like, I'll try anything once. And it was surprisingly a lot better than what I thought it was. I was really surprised. I wouldn't eat them every day. And it was the first time that I tried oysters there too.
Okay.
I think I have to be in the mood to eat the oysters. Some people love them, but for me, you know, I have to really build some courage.
How about bread? I know that bread is like a big.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't even have the best words to describe the bread, but yeah, definitely amazing. And the croissants too. I'm sure you've heard this before, but they're not as big as they are here. They're a lot smaller, but also a lot flakier and much better. And the lady that I used to live with that had her bed and breakfast, she would order fresh baguette and croissant from the nearby bakery for her guests to them their continental breakfast in the morning. What a hell of a continental breakfast. And she would, you know, bake the toast the bread and warm everything up and serve that to her guest with homemade jam that she made from her fruit trees in her three gardens that she had in the back of her house. And then, I think the butter was from the grocery store, but I mean, it was still nothing short of amazing. And yeah, I had to really hold myself back. I was like, I can't just eat bread all the time, but I sure ate a lot of it. Yeah.
Every morning.
Yeah. And yeah, and it's not uncommon. I think that that's kind of a staple that everybody has in their house. And you'll see people who are like, I'm just going to go run to the store and get a baguette after work for dinner. And that brings me to another point is a lot of times people, they eat these very big, rich meals, but there's a lot of times where somebody for dinner will just have like a little slice of pate and a salad and that's their dinner, or they'll just have a simple salad with like a little bit of cheese. And, you know, there's a lot of that going on too. Simple eating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So we're coming to the trivia part of it. And you already answered one.
Okay. I'm ahead of the game.
And pretty much, I feel like you already answered this other one too, but let's
do it. Let's do it.
Okay. The French Revolution was integral to the expansion of French cuisine because it abolished the guild system. This meant that anybody could now produce and sell any culinary item that they wished. What was a significant food source among peasants and the working class in the 18th century, with many of the nation's people being dependent on it?
Oh, I feel like it's going to have to be bread.
Yeah. I have a hint, but I mean, he didn't eat it.
Or cake, because it was Marie Antoinette that said, let them eat cake.
Oh, that's true.
I'm just kidding. I don't even know. Is that accurate? Did she?
Really, I don't know if it's that accurate. But yeah, ding, 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 you got it right. So that's two out of three. This next one might be a little tough because I just got all of these off of Wikipedia, to be honest, because I didn't. Wikipedia just condenses all the information into one page. So what are three most known national French cuisine items or dishes?
Oh, well, I think that one is hard. I want to say bœuf bourguignon. I think that's pretty common.
It can be either like hors d'oeuvres, main dish, pastry, or desserts.
Okay, so probably croissant.
Okay, yes.
Maybe pâté. Maybe foie gras.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, oh, duck, right?
It's like, yeah, it's duck liver.
Duck liver.
I think it's duck liver. Foie is the liver, so I think it's somebody's liver.
Okay. Somebody's liver. That sounds appetizing. Yeah, so among those that you mentioned, they also have baguettes, they have macarons, crepes, yeah, or crepes, sorry, crepes, and creme brulees, what else? Yeah, so they have different ones, but yeah, you got it right. Good job.
Did I get a prize? Just kidding.
I can mail you something. You know, it takes me like 3 months for it to get to you.
I'm totally kidding.
But yeah, so I'm so excited that you're in the podcast. And
oh my gosh, I love this. Thank you for inviting me.
But yeah, so you can find a lot of Natasha's articles. She does write for Used Media. You'll be able to find her there. And as always, you can find us on Instagram at Best Food I've Ever Had, and also my personal Instagram at Ask Angie Dean. Thank you guys so much for listening to us, and we'll see you guys later.
Bye, guys. Bye.